And then, and you know, we have a lot of people that are talking about the world is going to end at this time and whatever, whatever. They're trying to be like God and trying to put a time on what has already been timed, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So God has, he has it figured out already. All right, let's continue.
Can we look at the tree a little bit more? The fact that it bear one fruit per month. So, I mean, because you could think, why is it just one fruit per month?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Bears one fruit per month.
Yeah, the tree bears a new fruit every month. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it continues forever.
Right.
So I mean, just think about it now. I mean, we.
The conference is unlocked.
A constant invigoration every
mm-hmm.
every moment. You know what I mean? It's not going to be a place like, you know, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. I'm running out of things to do, whatever the case is. It's going to be a lot going on there. It's going to be a lot of energy. I mean, you think about people that have energy now, wait until you get to heaven, you can really see energy. You know what I mean? And that energy requires us, you know, the science majors and all that, and the people that study science. You know, energy is a necessary... for all life functions, all right? And if we use up our energy, then we become exhausted. And everybody knows what an exhausted person or a tired person looks like. When you see one, you will know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is exactly why we need to have trees every, this tree bear of fruit every month. Because we're going to need it. We're going to be doing so many different things forever. As definitely, it's going to be a necessity for us to have this. Alright? So, that is exactly why this tree will be bearing fruit every month. And we're going to get into that a little later on in the lesson. A little bit more. It is true that this city will descend to this earth. It's true. Is it true that this amazing city will descend on the earth with this square, this perfectly square city? Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Is
it true?
When we did the lesson the last time, we studied that, saw that when Jesus Christ comes and he takes his people to heaven and they reign with him for 1,000 years, then, after 1,000 years, the angel or the devil will be released from this chain that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Because while he was on the earth, he could not tempt anyone. Okay?
Right.
And when he when he's released from this chain, then he gathers all of his people to make one final attempt to overthrow God's kingdom. Alright? And then the fire comes down from heaven and devours the devil and his angels, and they perished, and it also burns up the earth.
Right.
And as we studied before, and we said before, fire is a means of purifying anything. You purify metal when the gold people, when they want to purify gold, they put it in the fire. They threw the fire. Okay. So this is what will happen, and after this earth is purified now with this from this fire and everything, then here is where the new Jerusalem will be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna get into that a little bit more.
Revelation 20.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, just add weight to what you just said. Revelation 21 verse 2 did say that. We'll read the whole thing. It says that. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, appeared as a bride adorned for her husband. So, of course, this scripture basically tells you that, you know what, Jerusalem is going to actually come down from heaven. Because right about now, as we mentioned before, the saints are going to live with Christ for 1,000 years. And then when 1,000 years come, the new Jerusalem is going to descend from heaven, and it's going to establish its kingdom here on earth. And that's why it's called the new Jerusalem. It's not the old Jerusalem that we have here on earth, where people are fighting and killing each other all the time. But it's the new Jerusalem. It's the new city of peace.
True. All right. It says this part, prepared as a bride for her husband. Why do you think the word bride is used there? As a matter of fact, let me back up a little bit. Whenever there's a wedding, why is it that brides usually wear white?
Purity.
Have you ever worn them?
Pure. She's a pure. She should be pure.
Okay. And with that being said, we can see definitely where the earth needs to be purified. Because
right.
if you're a bride and you're representing purity, then you cannot be, putting yourself in a dirty place. Come on now, everybody's quiet. If you're going to be, I'm going to say this, and ladies, I'm not attacking, I'm just saying this, alright? I'm just saying this, ladies, get married, you cannot be in the house, and the house is dirty. The house cannot be dirty because the bride represents purity, the wife represents purity. Sorry, ladies, I'm sorry, but this is how it is. God says cleanliness is next to godliness. If you're not clean, you cannot be associated with the bride. Alright? And therefore, everything around the bride must be clean, pure. So if you decide to go in your little corner should be pure. It should represent, it should reflect you. Can we? I'm sorry, ladies. But I just have to say that.
I have an issue with... can we move on? I don't want to express...
You don't want to express... Okay.
Okay, first of all, I feel the need to express myself.
Go ahead.
When we talk about a bride, it's at the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's a wedding ceremony going on with a bride and the groom. Okay? So they're going to get married at the wedding.
Sure.
The point you mentioned about the house then.
About the what?
I'm sorry, guys. Ladies, do you understand where I'm coming from right now?
No, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. You were laughing. I couldn't hear you.
No, the point I'm trying to make is the fact that it talks about a bride adorned for a husband. You know,
right.
That means that there's a ceremony going on. There's an event. And
right.
You made the point about a bride, a dirty house, and, you know, all that stuff. I don't think it belongs in that sentence. So can we...
Okay, let me explain it. Notice, right? It says, the Bible says, it comes down from out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned with her husband. Now,
okay.
It's coming down out of heaven to where? It's going to a place.
Right, right.
The earth, and I use that example because after you get married, what do? You don't live on the streets. You have to find a place of abode.
That is where
the new Jerusalem comes in, and that's why this is why the city has to be clean. That's why God burns the whole city, the whole earth, so that it can be purified. So that is where I was going with that point where I said the house got to be clean, because the bride is not going to come into no dirty house.
Okay.
You know what
it
I'm
makes
saying?
Sense. I got caught up with the analogy you're making.
I know. that's exactly. Oh, no problem. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. So, this is exactly what we're talking about here, the bride and her husband. And her husband, of course, is the Lord. Okay? And the point here is that, you know, this city will descend on earth, and the earth will be clean, as Natalie said before, it will be pure, there will be no more violence, there will be no more hating. I mean, and now we have a lot of people talk about, you're hating on me because I got a better job than you, or I look better than you, or I dress better than you, or whatever. There will be none of that. Everybody will be looking pretty. Ladies, every single one of you will have your individuality, your beauty, as beyond comprehension. And same for everyone. So there's going to be no more hate, no more violence. Everything is going to be perfect. Okay?
Amen to that. Yes.
It says, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. I just want to jump into that for a little bit. What do you think the word meek means? I'm going to tie it into what we're talking about. Meek.
Hi, Mom. Hello.
I'm sorry?
I did myself. I got in.
Okay, I guess the meek are people who are patient and they're able to endure difficult trials and tribulations.
Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Alright, that's in a nutshell, that's basically what it is. It's basically an individual who is patient, who has a quiet demeanor, so to speak. Okay? They're not rowdy. Alright? They're patient. These are just words that describe this as well. And it says, blessed are they, for they shall inherit the earth.
Right.
In connection to being pure, or before we can become pure, we first of all have to be humble.
Right.
Okay? And that is like, mm-hmm. Why the scripture here says that they shall inherit the earth. Because
the earth that we're talking about is the New Jerusalem, right?
The New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, there's a... There's a connection between being meek and being pure. That's why this scripture as well was used in connection with Revelation 21. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So that, there it is. So not only do we need to be pure, but we also need to be humble. And if we humble ourselves, then God can use us in powerful ways, in mighty ways.
Mm-hmm.
All God is looking for is somebody who will humble himself. A man that will humble himself. A woman that will humble herself and realize that God is supreme. And through all things, in him, through all things are possible. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely keep those two in mind. What will happen to sinners and sin? I'm sure everybody can answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 4 verses 1 says, all the proud, ye, all they that do wickedly shall be stubborn, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. Malachi 4 1.
Mm-hmm.
So the sinners will be burned. In this fire that will come down from heaven. Revelation 20 verses 9 says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. They devoured the wicked. Quite a few people have a problem with this this text, because they say, well, God is loving and God is merciful and God said that he came to call the sinners to repentance, and he came that the sinners may have a right to eternal life, yet he's going to burn them up in the end. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a misconception with that. The God is not burning sinners. okay? We have a time period where we need to get it together. And it is not tomorrow, it is not next year, it is now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if that time period closes and we are not destroyed with God, if we're not right with God, then we have to be destroyed. It is not that God is destroying you as a person, but because sin is found within you, you will be destroyed. As long as it's found within you, wherever sin is, that's where God will destroy it. It says sin will enter not a second time. It will not enter this new city. And so if you have, the Bible says in Psalms, if I have iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So it is not that God is destroying people because individual people are sinners, but it's because at that point, sin is still found in certain people. And if sin is still found in them after the time that they were given to repent, then they have to be destroyed. Of course, God doesn't want to do it, but God is just, and He's a God of principle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, just to let you know, because a lot of people are going to come to you and ask you, tell you, that that's one of the texts they don't understand how God is merciful, but yet He's destroying sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to explain that to them and tell them that it is not that God is destroying sinners, but it's because sin is found within the individual after a probationary time. Alright?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So pretty much here, so the whole purpose right here is just to mention, is just to get rid of sin, because we're going to create, the New Jerusalem is going to be established here on earth. And like you mentioned before, there's nothing sinful that can exist in God's kingdom, the New Jerusalem. So the whole purpose of getting rid of sin is just for the whole purification, so the New Jerusalem
right.
can be established here on earth. Right?
Right.
Okay. John, are you in the room? John?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you elaborate more on this point? We know that the wicked will be burned, and a lesson we covered before, we talk about man is made of, you know, the spirit, which is the spirit, the birth of God that makes the soul and all of that. So in this case, when the wicked is being destroyed, what's going to happen to that breath from these people? Does it go back to God? Because that's a concern a lot of people may have with that. What happened to that person's soul, or what happened to that person's breath? Can you share with us more?
Okay, you're saying
what's going to happen in that?
You're talking about judgment, when the wicked are destroyed?
The last time, yes. When
okay.
They're being burned up.
Basically, the combination that makes a human body is, according to Genesis 2, verse 7, is the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the combination of breath and body is what makes a living, functioning human being, and soul is pretty much a living, functioning human being. It does not mean like an immortal soul that lives inside of you or a spirit being that lives inside of you. It's just a living, functioning human being. So when you separate breath from body, the soul dies. Because all the soul is just a living, functioning human being. So in the last day, when the fire comes down from heaven to consume the wicked, breath will be separated from body, and the person is going to die. But not only that, but the breath will return to God and permanently and never return.
Okay.
All right.
So when God said, fear not them that have the power to kill the body and not the soul, what he's referring to is the fact that even if you kill a person's body, the will of the Lord can still reconstruct those parts, whether you burn them to ashes and, you know, put the breath of life back in them. But when he permanently separates the breath from the body, then there's nothing that can bring you back. And another factor is that he forgets them. So when you're not remembering, when you're not in the book of remembrance, when you're not in the book of life, if God doesn't remember you, who who's going to put your breath back in your body.
Oh, man.
So the fact that you're not remembered anymore, that means that you're lost throughout eternity. It's as if you never existed.
That's cold, you know. I imagine, like, that's cold, man. That's cold, you know. Like, you're not remembered anymore. But this is exactly what will happen to you if sin is found within your body when Christ comes again. That is why we definitely have to be constantly keeping ourselves pure, keeping ourselves out of trouble, and all that kind of stuff. Because at any moment, Christ could come. At any moment. And if he comes within the next 5 minutes, and your soul is not right, if your mind is not right, definitely, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Since we're talking about the bride and the husband, the scripture tells us that we should not allow the sun to go down on us angry. Alright? And the reason for that is because if it does go down on us angry and we die in that state, guess what happens? And Jesus comes the following day, guess what happens? You will be destroyed. I mean, it will literally make no sense for you to live a Christian life your whole life, and then for one moment you decide that you're not going to forgive this person because you're not bowing to them, or you don't, whatever the case is, and you're going to lose your soul over that. So definitely you need to be very careful with that type of thinking. Alright? Bible says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwell righteousness. So righteousness will be in this new Jerusalem. There will be, as I said before, there will be no death, there will be no pain, there will be nothing. Imagine even today. Imagine a day where every single thing goes how you want it to go. Just imagine that. I was coming home today, from school today, and it was raining, it was pouring, and this young lady was complaining about how it's not her day. It's not my day today, because I got a new job today, and it's raining. Every single time I get a new job, something happens. It's a snowstorm, it's a hailstorm, it's not my day. And she was just so upset. She was wet, she was soaking wet, she had an umbrella, the wind was tossing her umbrella upside, inside, out. There was somebody else that was standing at the bus stop with her, and he ended up getting a ride, and that even got her more upset. You know what I mean? And, you know, just imagine how a day on earth would be for us, how happy we are when things go right for us in this sinful world. Imagine how it's going to be when we get up there in heaven. All right? Is everybody with me so far? Is everybody clear?
Just pretty much just living this happy, harmonious life. Everything is just perfect. I mean, we're just with God and we're just singing, and, you know, just to be, nothing is dying, and we have life, having life abundantly and having life eternal. That in itself is just, the thought of that is just unimaginable. You can't imagine that, but the whole beauty of, that's something, it's like you want it so bad, because imagine a life of total happiness and peace and joy, and just to see God. That's something, it's like, I'm excited about that personally, you know. So, wow. And a city like that, it's worth working hard for.
Right.
Definitely. Let's take it a step further. Now, throughout the scriptures, God has promised us a lot of things. Is that correct? Does everybody believe that God has given us a lot of promises, and he is faithful, and he will keep all these promises. All right, as long as we obey him and we follow his will and we follow whatever he wants us to do, then we will see these promises being fulfilled. Okay, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, desire to be different things. You know what I mean? You know, they said, okay, well, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to put aside selfishness. I'm going to put aside all these different things. And sure enough, they were all over giving testimonies about how God is good. People testified about how they went into examinations and came out with A's and a whole lot of other different things, all right? Now, we're going to look at some of the promises that God gives to people, those who are saved, when they enter into this new kingdom. First, let's look at Revelation 21:3.
And I heard, should I go ahead and read?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God.
Amen. So that scripture is basically telling, it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, alright? God is basically living with us at this point.
Right.
I mean, we can look him in the face and nothing will happen. He will talk with us. He's going to hold our hands. All that kind of stuff. Alright? We will be living just as you live with your brothers and your sisters and your mom and dad at home right now. Or for those who are married, your spouse. This is exactly how we will be with the Lord when we get to heaven. Alright? They will never become bored. This is like one of my favorite ones. Today we have a lot of young people talking about, I'm bored. Huh? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got nothing to do. Like, I'm bored. What does this do? Now here it is, we see that the Lord will give us finally an opportunity to not become bored. We won't have time to be bored. That's Psalm 16:11. Alright. I'll read it. It says this. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. And in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is God saying to us, okay? At his right hand there is pleasures forevermore. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. I mean, it's like, let me see how I can use it. It's like, you know, you have your spouse, or you have your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever the case is. And the person doesn't even have to talk to you, okay? Just the presence of that individual gives you joy or butterflies, okay? And that's their presence. And then we have, it says here, and at thy right hand, our pleasure is forevermore. I mean, things that you like to do. Maybe how the things that how you spend your free time and that kind of stuff, there's going to be all that kind of stuff going on. Alright? Forevermore. I mean, it's going to keep going on and getting better as we progress. Alright? There will be no more death, pain, tears, sorrow, sickness, obstacles, operations, tragedy, disappointment, trouble, hunger, or thirst. Revelation, let's look at Isaiah 23:24. Somebody want to read that for us?
Isaiah 23:24. And the inhabitants shall say, I am sick. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity.
Amen. So here did we see that God's people will not be sick. And all will be we'll be walking around and not having to not even a thought is gonna enter a man's body sick. And the inhabitants shall not say I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven them their iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? Just to point out with that scripture, if you look at that scripture, it says, therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And what I'm tempted to think is that iniquity makes us sick.
Yeah.
Okay? Sin makes
mm-hmm.
us sick. When
yeah.
you decide that you're not going to forgive your brother or your sister because you're right and they're wrong,
mm-hmm.
it makes you sick. A lot of people don't realize it, but it does. Medical science has traced a tremendous percentage of what we face in terms of sickness, in terms of maladies, so, stress and a whole lot of other different things. And if you go to the psychologist will tell you that how you think has a lot to do with what happens to you physically. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can literally bring disease on yourself by just thinking wickedly. Literally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not just that the mind is a powerful thing. The mind is a powerful thing. And so here
mm-hmm.
it says their iniquity will be forgiven. And that is why, just to add to that is why we need to constantly be asking God for forgiveness. Because if you have sin, not only does it affect you spiritually, but it also affects you physically. It also affects you emotionally and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes, a lot of people are going to say, yes, you know what? I was wrong, or he was wrong, or she was wrong, and they deserve this, or whatever the case is, and they have this hype attitude, and they don't want to humble themselves and get rid of certain things, and they're not realizing that these things have detrimental effects on them. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So, there will be no more pain. Let's look at Revelation 7 and verses 16. See what that has to say. Revelation 7 and verses 16. I'll read this one. It says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Now, here, hunger. In the world today, we look at Africa, we look at, I use Africa because Africa is known as the breadbasket of the world. That is the name that Africa is known as, okay? We have a lot of hungry people in Africa, even in America. There's a lot of children in America starving right now that don't have a meal to eat. And we need to say, thank you, Lord, because we have a meal to eat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The scripture here is telling us that there will be no more hunger. I mean, think about it. When you're hungry, how do you feel? I mean, it's not the fact that you're just hungry. It's not like you don't have any money to buy any food or whatever the case is. You have money to buy food. You have food at your house, but you don't feel like cooking. You're just hungry. It's not that you can't go out and get these things. You're just hungry. It's a crazy feeling. You just feel
mm-hmm.
angry at everything. Everything just doesn't make sense to you. Okay?
Right.
And here it is, now God is saying to us that we will not be hungry. First, how many people have ever been in a situation where they realize the importance of drinking water? Medical science is now telling us that we need to increase the amount of glasses of water we drink a day from 8 to something about 13.
Mm.
Because water is more, it's becoming, they're finding more healing wonders and more healing powers in drinking water and having the system replenished with water. Okay? When we don't have water in our system, stuff go wrong. You know what I mean? Eyes are dry, Some people have dry eyes, chronic dry eyes. Eyes are always red, they're always burning, they're always itching. You have dry skin. You have and a whole host of problems you go through. Okay? And here it is, God is telling us that we don't, all of these things that are essential for us to live, we will have them. It will be like it comes standard. Alright? They will not get tired. Isaiah 40:31. Let me really quickly, Isaiah 40:31. Now how many people I'm sure a lot of people know about this, working at least two jobs. Some people work at least two jobs and by the time they finish with one, they're tired. Okay? And the jobs are not necessarily easy office jobs or whatever the case is. I'm not saying office jobs are easy, but I'm saying like in terms of labor, manual labor, some people have to do a lot more manual labor than others, and that in itself tires the system out. Alright? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. Do I have any volunteers?
Okay, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Alright. They that do what?
Wait upon the Lord.
The scripture here brings out a very important point. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, Go ahead.
No, I'm just reading the scripture.
I'm tempted to think that those who try to rush are not doing themselves any good. Based on what the scripture is telling me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, you're in a rush to go to school, you're in a rush to go to work, you're cutting people off left, right, and center in the parkway, you're cutting the line because you don't have time. You're in a rush. You're just constantly in a rush. Alright? God is telling you, I guess you're praying for something, Lord, I want to become a successful entrepreneur. And God is telling you, I will bless you, but you gotta wait. But you can't wait, so you go and you take out a loan, and now you have four mortgages to pay, plus you gotta pay the bank back, and all these different stuff, just island stress to yourself. Okay? It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's funny here it mentions they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now eagles are known to be extremely what must I say? They're known to be like very strong in terms of their capacity or their ability to lift prey. Thrust ability. That's what I'm looking for. Thrust. Meaning lifting off the ground. They're one of those birds that have the capacity for thrust is tremendous. Alright? And it's saying here that they shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. Me personally, I do track and field. And after I finish doing a 400 meter run, I need to take a rest. I do a 100 meter sprint, and I need to take a rest. But here it is that in the New Jerusalem, you will run and not get weary. Could you imagine that? I'm running top speed for 500 miles. I don't need no car. You know, I can run from here to Florida if I want to go for whatever, I have a function or something like that, or want to go visit my dad or something. I just start running. Full speed, 100 miles an hour, and I ain't getting tired. You know what I mean? Walk and not faint.
In heaven also, just to add to that last point, in heaven, we're going to be having wings. We could be able to fly from different parts of the New Jerusalem, or just fly to different parts in
in the sky. So, you know, we're going to have wings as well, and, you know.
Right. So. And that's what he was talking about with the eagle's wings. All right? Mm-hmm. Because you're just going to have so much energy. You're going to have energy to spare, so to speak. All
right?
Right. Let's move on. Every safe person will be physically whole in every way. Now, I wanted to stop and think about this one for a bit. I have a friend right now that is about the age of 22 years old. Around that age. And suffering from liver disease, heart disease, has fluid in the knees that need to be drawn out, has asthma problems, has blood pressure problems, and all manner of things. 22 years old. All right? 22 years old. Has to be taking a whole lot of pills and all these different things. This is the promise the Lord is telling us here. The saved people will be physically whole. So your heart will be beating to the optimum, whatever, optimum rate. Okay? Blood pressure, everything, optimum rate. Let's read Philippians 3:21 to get a glimpse of that. Philippians 3:21. All right. Says this: Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself? So what the scripture is basically telling us, that we will be changed into a different body, our body fashioned after Christ, right? We are not subjected to any sicknesses. You know, for those people that like to play, football. You're going to be playing football, and you're going to run, and you're going to tackle your brother or your sister, whoever the case is, and you don't have to worry about, oh, I just hurt my knee. You know what I mean? In every way, you're going to be physically whole. You're going to be working perfectly. You're not going to have any pain. Jealousy, fear, hatred, falsehood, envy, impurity, cynicism, filth, worry, and all evil will be forever shut out of God's kingdom. We read Revelation 21:8. As a matter of fact, let's read that first, because I want to comment on some of these things. Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8 tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, this which is the second death. Alright? Jealousy is responsible for a lot of it's responsible for a lot of domestic violence, physical violence, abuse, and a lot of stuff. Jealousy. I've read several articles in newspapers where people are jealous over this person because they have something that they want and they can't get it, or they want to be like this person, but because they have a certain deformity or whatever it is, they just decide that, you know what, if I can't be like this person, then I don't want to see that person ever. Or that person just shouldn't exist. You know what I mean? And they take him out. Jealousy responsible for Lucifer, being in the position he is today. I mean, he was practically second in command after Jesus Christ, okay, in heaven. And now, he's nothing. Please mm-hmm. not believe it. He's nothing because he's here on the earth. He knows, and he is not immortal anymore because he will die. It's just that his time has not come yet. He will die. And, you know, it's responsible for a lot of stuff. Fallen. Some people, you know, they get up in life or whatever the case is. When I say get up in life, I mean they went to school, studied hard, they got a good job or whatever the case is. And they're doing well. You know what I mean? Others, on the outside, see them and they just don't like it. They just have some people that just don't like to see others move up in life. Others can have something that they don't have. It's jealousy. And so they go to utmost lengths to either block it or take the person out. Okay? Fear, hatred, falsehood, envy. There's a lot of hatred. People, I'm being very serious now. Within our society, there's a lot of hatred. Today, I got a text message last night, and I'm sure everybody heard about the Sean Bell story. This guy that was killed for nothing, basically. Basically killed for nothing, and the police officers that did it got off. They didn't get any sentence, anything. You know what I mean? There's a hatred, and it's sickening to think of these things when we hear about it. But all these things are destructive elements, destroys our system. And in the New Jerusalem, we won't have any of that. We won't have any of these problems, falsehood. Everything is going to be real. You want to meet a real person? A lot of people talk about meeting real people. I want a real friend, a real spouse, somebody who's going to be real to me. You're going to meet real people here. There's no falsehood. All right? Revelation 22:15. Let me just read that really quickly for you before we move on. It says, for without dogs, and, hold on one second, for without our dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
For without our dogs and sorcerers. Anybody know what that word is, or what are they talking about?
Like witches, princes, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that they're talking about there. Now you're going to be in the kingdom. So whatever problem.
Okay, Go ahead. I'm saying we're living the New Jerusalem is a sin-free environment. Everything there is holy and true. Sin cannot exist in that environment. And all the things you just mentioned about murderers and sorcerers and envy and jealousy and hatred, all of those traits are associated with sin. So those traits, people who will be living in the New Jerusalem could never have characteristics in the first place. If they did, they would never be in the New Jerusalem at all. So, you know,
definitely.
Why...
Mm-hmm. Right. And so there it is. Do we have any questions? Everybody with me so far?
So wait a second. Based on that verse, it doesn't mean like literally dogs won't be in the New Jerusalem.
No, it says without. All right. It says without our dogs. All right.
I don't think it's talking about literal dogs. I think it's talking about usually dogs are close to the Gentiles, the non-Christians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes when, you know, sometimes when the word dog is used, it's used to describe a state of mind or a state of being, so to speak, okay? Dogs are usually associated with you know, low things. When I say low things, I mean people that are, some people actually want to say grimy, evil, people that are just out there to get you, to steal, to destroy, to kill you, whatever case is. When they're talking about dogs, that's basically, you know, it's, most of the time it's being used to describe characteristics. I mean, if you look at the dog now, you know, if I come to your house and I knock on your door, you have a dog inside, if your dog gets the opportunity to come outside, he doesn't know me, that's what he's going to do. I'm going to get a bite. What I mean? And that's exactly how it is, you know, it's like, people don't even know you, but they just out to destroy you. That's what the word dog there means.
Mm-hmm.
Without, for without our dog. Alright?
Yeah.
Just to kind of elaborate on a little bit further, it'd be kind of random if God was to say, for without our dogs, sorcerers, I mean, the two wouldn't go together. I mean, if dogs aren't going to be there, then what about camels and lions or, you know, it's like, where do dogs come, like, why single out dogs and then put them next to sorcerers? So that gives you the biggest hint that that it's not talking about literal dogs. There's also another scripture, I just want to check it real quick. It mentions, I think, that a wolf is going to be in heaven, and a wolf is a canine, so there will be dogs in the kingdom. Here it goes, Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. So wolves are actually canines, so we know the dogs will actually be in heaven.
Okay, and that's Isaiah 11, verse...
Verse 6, and the first thing that I will do, if I make it, is to ask the Lord for my dog.
Okay.
Oh, you like your dog, huh?
I do, man.
Yes, I know. So, there it is, we have it. So, can we move on? Anybody have any more questions?
Just to remind you, we have around 60 minutes.
16.
Yes.
Okay, no problem. Alright, let's move on. How will the Earth differ from our Earth today? How will it differ? Vast seas as we know them today will be gone.
Right.
Revelation 21 and verses 1 tells us this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
The vast seas as we know them today will be gone. I mean, let's just think about this for a second. This is something that I think about too. Do you ever sit down and, or maybe you went to the beach once, and try to imagine the depth and the size of the sea? It's just something that's so amazing. It just tells us so much about the Lord. Talking about the sea that's 400 or 500 feet deep and more. We have that, the and seas, by the way, seas cover majority of the land, most of the land most of the Earth's surface, I should say, is covered by sea, or water, so to speak. That is why I'm using that as well to apply that to us. A large percentage of our body is covered, or not covered, is made up of water. It just came to me. It was just amazing that, you know, there will be no seas as we know them. The seas will be gone. Alright? The desert will become gardens. Isaiah 35, and verses 1 and 2. Let's read that really quick. Does anybody have it? Isaiah 35.
What verse?
Okay, I'll read.
What verse?
Go ahead.
What verse?
Verse 1 and 2.
Oh, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and the blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God.
There we have it. So we see the desert will become garden. The scientists try, even in our time now, they try to speculate where the Garden of Eden was, and where this mountain was, and where that mountain was, and you know what I mean, all these different things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're going to go and recreate the earth again, second time. All the deserts, the Sahara Desert and the Nairobi Desert and all the different deserts that we have out there will become gardens.
Yeah.
All right? The animals will be tame. All animals will be tame. So now we don't have to go to the zoo to see animals and lions anymore. We have them right next to us. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11 verses 6 through 9 gives us a little bit about that. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 6 through 9, I read, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox." Imagine that. "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the Christ's dent." Right? "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So, here it is, and I just want to bring this part to you guys. It says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord." So, that gives me incentive to think that the knowledge of the Lord helps us to construct and not destroy. Having a knowledge of God helps to create some manner of peace, some manner of joy within, some manner of harmony within ourselves, within everything else. If we have a knowledge of God, then things will harmonize. All right? There will be no more curses. All right, Revelation 22, verses 3, you can read that. "There will be no more violence of any kind." We spoke about violence before. And as the scripture just told us, if the earth is filled with the knowledge of Christ, then there, none of these things will happen.
Right.
Nothing defiling will be found in the new earth. Alright? There will be no cigarette, well, no tobacco, no drunkard, tavern, alcoholic, anything that is unlike Christ, anything that is impure, anything that has anything to do with destruction and chaos will not be found there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture that talks about, the scripture that we just read about, the healing of the nation.
Right.
Now, and this situation came to me, so I'm putting it out there because just in case it comes to any one of you guys who's been able to know how to handle it. There are people going around thinking that the leaves that they're talking about here in this scripture is the marijuana leaf.
The what?
The marijuana leaf.
Okay.
There are people that are going to come to you and tell you that that's what it's talking about. The leaf is for the healing of the nation. Alright? Have to be.
And they're not going to sit and get high together.
Very careful with when people come and try to put these nonsense in your head. Okay? The marijuana plant has medicinal purposes. It is good for a lot of things. Okay? However, the way in which it is being used by a lot of individuals who use it is not for the healing of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the destruction of souls. That is what it does.
Amen.
Okay? Don't let people come and tell you that. A lot of people been telling me this, you know, Syria for the healing of the nation. And I said, no, I'm healed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful because people will come and try to tell you that. They will. This is a question that a lot of people ask. One of our participants asked this question a little earlier. Will there be children in God's kingdom? If so, will they grow up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's read Zechariah 8 and verses 5. You're going to get this straight from the scripture. Zechariah 8 and verses 5. Alright. Alright, I'll read for you. And the street of the city, which is the holy city, the New Jerusalem, shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So, there will be young children in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Will they grow up? Yes, they will grow up. Malachi 4, chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. So these children will grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, heaven is a place of progression. We're going to be living forever. Things are going to be happening forever. We're going to be learning about Jesus Christ forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So these kids are going to be growing up. Go ahead and not grow up.
I'm sorry, what about Malachi?
Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2.
Okay, thank you.
They'll grow up, but they will not grow old, because remember we talked about the tree of life, and the tree of life gives you vitality and energy, and you have life eternal. So these kids will grow up, but they will not grow old.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. When we let... Go ahead.
I have a question I want to throw out there. What about reproduction? Will families in heaven reproduce to have children, babies, for them to grow in the kingdom? Anyone could answer this question. It's just something I just want to throw out there.
Okay. I don't think the situations in heaven where you have husband and wives and reproduction are them having kids. Because I remember one of the time when Jesus was on her, the Pharisees, they're asking him, what about
a few men will marry this woman who will claim her in heaven, and Jesus said there won't be such a situation in heaven where you have like husband and wife.
Well, actually, it was really talking about new marriages, not necessarily that couples that were together on earth won't be together, but rather that, you know, there would be no new marriages. For example, you know, like, if you look at Adam and Eve, do you think that they're not going to be together in heaven?
Maybe, but on some terms, I don't think it's like a marriage situation, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that God is going to give people their divorce papers in heaven. Oh, I'm going to read the scripture, and, yeah, I mean, you know, because marriage is one of the things that was instituted at creation, so I highly doubt that when people go to heaven that they're going to, you know, get divorces, but rather, the way Jesus answered the question, if you look at the language, it could be alluding to the fact that there will be no new marriages in heaven. Hold on, so let me just get to it real quick.
I think there is a scripture that talks about they will be... Are you looking for John?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on, I have it here. Let me just look at that. I actually have something Doug Batchelor wrote on it. Give me a minute, I'll find it. Yeah, you guys can talk.
All right. Okay, so that's what it is. 5 minutes? Wow. Okay. When we get to heaven, when united with our loved ones in heaven, will the saved know each other? And we can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12. And that says, then shall I be known, even as also I am known. And I know that sounds a little bit technical, but it's actually telling us that when we get to heaven, just the same way as I know Melissa, Melissa knows me, and I know Natalie, and Natalie knows John, and whatever the case is, that's exactly how it's going to be. When I see you, I'm going to know you. You know, if you had a fro, and you're in heaven, you have a fro, I know you by the fro, that's exactly how I'm going to remember you. Okay, we're going to recognize each other.
Okay.
Something interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, I found it. Okay. There's only one reference in Scripture that alludes to this question. That's Matthew 22, verse 30. And Jesus says to the Sadducees, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So the word marry is in present tense, so I'm not going to marry someone, nor am I going to be given in marriage to someone. So it's no new marriages, not necessarily that the old marriages won't still be functional.
Okay. Question to you, is there going to be like the angels? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's saying that at the resurrection, when people are going back up to heaven, that they'll be as the angels of God. So, this is in reference to the fact that they were trying to trick him into answering.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think that Adam and Eve are not going to, be married just because they're in heaven. It's not really clear from the scripture.
Okay. To answer my question, there won't be any women giving birth to children.
No, can't really argue that because I don't think the scripture says yay or nay on that one. But I would doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, I was going to add this point earlier where we were talking about if a person is going to be born in heaven. It's kind of difficult to be born in heaven because the main thing about mankind is that we're very curious. And in heaven, I mean, if you're hanging out with the Creator, mankind has a very scientific nature about him where we have to identify things and we have to, I mean, as long as we have something to identify, just like we're never bored. As long as there's new things to explore and new things to do, you know, that's pretty much what we look for, excitement, things of that nature. So in heaven, I mean, if you're hanging out with God, who is the creator, if we don't get bored on the earth when there are new things to do and new things to explore, then how can we be bored in heaven when we're hanging out with a God who can create new things all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, I would not say that it would be impossible for us to be bored in heaven.
Definitely not going to be bored in heaven. Right. Yes, your question was Natalie?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And
I guess our time is up
right
now.
Yeah, we could wrap up now. The next time we could just pretty much
continue.
Right. Talk about, just continue the point you're making about when you're united, reunited with your loved ones in heaven, would you recognize them? Will people in heaven have flesh and bone? Are they just going to be spirits? How will the righteous spend their time in the heavenly kingdom? And we have quite a few more points to cover in our next class. So, I mean, just to summarize what we talked about earlier, it's just the fact that after the 1,000 years is over, the new Jerusalem is going to come on earth, and for it to be established on earth, the earth has to be purified. And it's going to be purified with fire, where the wicked and the devil will be burned. And they're going to be burned for a while. And of course, the devil, who is the greatest sinner of them all, he's going to be burned the longest. And then after that, the new Jerusalem is going to be established. And we also talk about how beautiful the city is going to be. We talk about the measurements. We talk about the streets of gold. We talk about the tree of life. And we talk about how harmonious it's going to be living in the New Jerusalem, a city where it's sin-free, where everything is in harmony, and we're spending every day with the Creator just doing new and wonderful things. So pretty much that's what we covered tonight. And next time we're going to continue. Are we going to continue on Saturday, or are we going to continue on Monday?
Move on Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, I just wanted to make one other quick correction about getting wings in heaven. We actually won't get wings in heaven, but remember the time when we covered the chariots of the Lord and how the angels function as transport vehicles?
Right.
The wings that we get in heaven will actually be the angels who carry us or transport us from place to place. As it says in the scripture, that behold, the Lord cometh with clouds. The clouds transport Jesus, and we know that when Jesus comes, we're going to be like him. So Jesus actually does not have wings, but rather the angels transport him from place to place. So they're also referred to as the chariots of the Lord, and we went into a little bit of a study on how you equate angels, clouds, and chariots. So we'll have the angels as chariots to transport us from one place to another, even throughout the galaxy. But I don't think we'll be getting wings in heaven. And there's no scripture that really alludes to that.
Oh, somebody was asking earlier about the scripture that tells us that clouds represent angels. You know where we can find that?
Yeah, hold on a second. Actually, that's in my notebook. Let me see if I can give it to you briefly, but in detail.
Where it's taken from.
All right, give me 1 second, okay?
No problem.
Does anyone have any questions in the meantime?
Also, basically, your question about procreation in heaven, will that occur?
No.
No, procreation in heaven. Because I got sidetracked about the marriage issue. So that will not happen,
right?
No, because I know that I've been to seminars and said there's no sex in heaven. I know I heard that much.
There's no sex in heaven?
Yeah. Like, people don't have, like, sex in heaven. That's what I
heard. Okay. In terms of us procreating, I don't think the scripture gives us any reference to that. It says children will grow up. Alright? So I think pretty much it's going to be a set number of people. in the heavens, the heavens, the New Jerusalem. You know what I mean? But I have to do more research on that, and I can definitely get back to you on it, because it's quite interesting. You know, like, you know, how are we gonna still have, you know, kids? Are we still gonna be able to have kids and all that kind of stuff? It's quite interesting to think about.
There are some questions that we just can't answer about heaven until we actually get there. You know, we don't know everything about heaven, because obviously the scripture says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have they come into the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So, I mean, there are some things that we just can't answer about heaven, and we only can go by what the scripture says and wonder about these things, but we won't actually know until we get there.
Okay.
But anyway, about go ahead, sorry.
No more creation, no more humans will be created, creation as it is stopped, in terms of, you know, making more humans and making more animals and stuff like that.
Well, we don't know that. That's the thing.
I'm sorry?
How can we know whether God won't create more, maybe not humans per se, but more beings? I mean, we have eternity.
That's a good question.
We have eternity to live with God. Who's to say that never, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, will there ever be anything created? That's just things that we don't know. I mean, I would imagine that God would do some more creating. Why not?
That's very possible. But also we'll also be having the company of a lot of angels as well. You know what I mean? It's not going to be just us. It's going to be us plus the angels. It's going to be like, heaven is going to be a powerhouse.
But the city will never be crowded.
No, it will be crowded.
It will never be crowded.
Everybody who is, it has the capacity to hold whatever, you know, like the scripture says, that the tabernacle of man is with God and he is dwelling with them. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that God, the word God there doesn't just mean Jesus. It means Jesus and whoever else is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be like we have our little earth here and the angels have their little, you know what I mean? Like, everybody going to be together.
Right. And New Jerusalem is the capital of that city. There are going to be other, you know, other parts of the kingdom. You know?
Oh.
New Jerusalem is just the capital of it.
Going back to the question about how the chariots are related to the clouds or the angels, I have the scriptures here. Go to Psalm 68, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a bunch of scriptures to write down. It says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. So you see how it says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels? It's equating angels with chariots, but there's more scripture than just that. Now go to Isaiah 66, verse 15. Isaiah 66 and verse 15. It says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Alright, now keep that one in mind. Go to Psalms 104, verse 3. Says, who layeth the beams of his chambers in waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now notice that it says that he walks upon the wings, and he makes the clouds his chariots. That means that the clouds are the chariots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, now let's go to Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Now, notice that it says the Lord cometh with clouds, and before it said the Lord cometh with chariots, right? And we know that chariots and clouds can be equated. Now let's look at Matthew 24, verse 27, and then skip to 30 and 31.
Matthew 24, verse 27.
And we'll just skip down to 30 and 31. It says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So you see again how it's starting to equate clouds with angels.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when you look at Psalm 68, verse 17. I'm just going to go back to that one real quick. Give me one moment. Psalm 68 and verse 17, where it says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So the angels and the chariots are actually the same thing. And then we read in the other verse that the clouds and the chariots are the same thing. So the Lord, the chariots and the clouds and the angels are the same exact thing. But further proof of it is in Daniel chapter 7, where you'll see it a little bit clearer. Let's see. Daniel chapter 7. And I'll find the verse. Before I read the verse, just keep in mind that a cloud is pretty much a collection of anything. For example, you can have a cloud of dust because the little dust particles form together to make a cloud. So that's cloud is just referring to the fact that the angels are together in such a close-knit group that it looks like a cloud. So whenever something is a huge collection like that, that's why they refer to it as a cloud.
Oh, okay.
And the scripture is Daniel 7, verse, let's see, okay, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Who's they? Right, the angels. So the clouds of heaven are actually angels, because he comes with the clouds of heaven, and they brought him near before him. Right, so it's pretty clear from scripture that the clouds are actually the angels, and the chariots are also the angels, and clouds, chariots, and angels are pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
Now, the reason why they refer to them as chariots sometimes is because the angels carry and transport Jesus, or, you know, sometimes they carry and transport God, the Father. It says that there's a scripture that talks about how the Lord rode on his chariots. So it's just referring to the fact that the angels can function as a transport unit sometimes. Even when Elijah was brought into heaven, he was carried by the chariots with a whirlwind. So he wasn't really actually brought in a fire chariot, but actually by angels.
Mm-hmm.
They acted as a transport for him to reach heaven.
Okay, so based on tonight's lesson, right, I know that there's some religions that actually tell you that when you go to heaven, you're going to have wings and stuff like that, but there's just no truth to what they're saying.
Nope. There's never anything found in scripture that tells you that you're going to get wings or grow wings when you get to heaven. Rather, the only wings you're really going to get are the angels that will transport you from place to place.
Okay.
Alright, well, If you guys don't have any more questions, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and participating in this wonderful discussion of the New Jerusalem, of which I hope you all will be a part of. And I hope that this lesson was a blessing to you. I hope that you were enlightened. I hope that you were filled and blessed. And I invite you, along with my co-host and the Spreaded Network team, to come again. We will be continuing this discussion on Saturday. Alright? At this point, before we go out, we're going to close in prayer. Everyone just kindly bow your head. Our kind and loving Father, we just thank you for this wonderful study that we had tonight. We know, Lord, that you are soon to come, Lord. Help us to get ourselves together. Help us to get ready for that day when we will be transported with the angels, by the angels, to the New Jerusalem, O Lord. I pray that you will continue to be with us daily. Give us the strength, give us the patience, give us the victory over every situation, every trial, and help us to be more like you every day. I give you the praise and I give you the thanks. Be with each and every individual and on this phone and their families. I pray that you will save them all in your eternal kingdom when you come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Sorry I came in a little bit late today, guys. I had some trouble entering.
Wait for them?
Yes, sorry I came in a little bit late today because I had some trouble entering. It kept giving me a busy signal.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I was telling Natalie I was working some reverse psychology because I pressed 5 on the phone and